Praise Gate Ministries and St. Timothy Missionary Baptist Church. It is a blessing to be here once again today. Glad you've joined us for this particular session of worship and praise. And we want to thank God for letting us be here today. Do have a thought-provoking message today, which the Lord has given me to share with you. And we're going to ask you right now just to have a word of prayer. Amen. Before, as we start this wonderful service here, let us pray. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we bless your name. Father, we give you praise and honor and glory. We thank you for everything, Lord God. And we lift up the name of Jesus right now this morning, Father, which is our only gateway into your presence. And Father, we want to give praise to the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to thank you for your Holy Son, who you allow to be crucified, buried, and risen for such as us. And Father, we give you the honor today, the praise and the glory. We ask you to forgive us of all our sins, wash us, cleanse us, sanctify us, heal us, and deliver us from every unrighteous way, every unrighteous word, every unrighteous thought, and every unrighteous deed. And Father, we ask you to look over this whole country and this world, Father. And we ask you to draw men, women, boys, and girls to your side by the good news of the gospel of your Son, Jesus, that you have loved us all with an everlasting love, and that you gave him to be sacrificed on the cross in order to deliver us from our sin and from your judgment. And so, Father, we bless your name today, Father. Bless every person that's under the sound of my voice. Give us all ears to hear and a heart to understand what the Spirit said to the churches, and we'll be careful to give you all the honor, the praise, and the glory, and it's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Go ahead and thank God for another day's journey. Amen. So we're going to move right along. We have a very good topic today. I've been working on this, trying to get us into this a little bit more deeply throughout the last few lessons. And I want to talk again today about cultivating the attitude of thankfulness. And the reason we have to do that, there are so many reasons why you and I have to cultivate this attitude of thankfulness. It won't be a natural thing that we have. Being thankful is a very unnatural thing for people such as us. And that's anybody, not just me and you, just whoever else you know, anywhere. We all have to culture and nurture an attitude of thanksgiving. People have a tendency not to be thankful in so many cases. And some may argue whether that's true or not. But let's look at it from the biblical perspective that it is a serious problem with mankind to be thankful for everything. And we're going taking this from Paul's letter to the church at Thessalonica, chapter 5, verse 1 and 1 Thessalonians. I'm sorry, chapter 5, verse 18 says that in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. So it's very difficult for me and you to get on that level and on that wavelength. And that's why it had to be given in the imperative, in a command, for us to do it. So how are we going to do it? The fact is, it's going to be difficult. It's not going to be easy. So we have to cultivate the attitude of thankfulness. And so that's what I want to talk with you about today. Some strategies that you and I can use. Not only thankfulness, but also praise, which is the overflow of being thankful for what God has done and what he's doing right now in your life and in my life. So we should be thankful for what God is doing, and we should also give him praise. And we're going to take a look at that from a couple of perspectives here today. So as we begin, let me give you some more connecting background on our message today that I pray will bless us as we prepare to conclude this most challenging year that we have ever experienced in decades. I think this is the most challenging year that you and I have experienced in decades. I honestly do. Now, some of you may say, oh, I've only been here a couple of decades. That's okay. This is really very wild, and you can ask your parents or your grandparents, and you'll find out that this year has been a very particular bundle of tests, one after another, and it continues to be. Seems like it's snowballing, in fact, and things are looking more and more strange as the year goes on. So we need to be prepared that no matter what the season is, no matter what the controversies are, what the challenges are, the difficulties are in this world, that the God's word, which does not change, says in everything give thanks. And so this is where we have to take time to pray on this and make ourselves become more thankful than we are. Now, the fact is, only the Holy Spirit can do what I'm talking about here, is to give you an attitude of thankfulness where you can be thankful about everything. And that's really, really hard when you think through it. We on the surface, we might think, oh, that's easy. Well, it's not just what we say. It's how we feel in our heart. It's not only what we think, but how we actually feel and how we know that we're doing what God says. So it won't be an easy thing, and you'll find that out if you try to thank God next time you smack your hand with a hammer or anything of that sort. And I'm being facetious, of course. But the fact is, everything we do is not cheerful. We've talked about that quite a bit. So we want to go into that in a little more detail and give you some spiritual balance that you can put on this. So being thankful, even though it is a command, God has commanded it, it is a suitable and correct response to the immeasurable love of God that has been displayed and ordered to be preached to all people everywhere. In other words, God has commanded that the church go and teach all the nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So that's the reason why we do this. We're trying to teach this command that has been given through the Apostle Paul to be thankful in everything. And it's not an easy thing to do if we really think through, because a lot of tragic things take place. A lot of stuff goes on that's regrettable even. And there's a whole lot going on in politics and any kind of thing you name. There's always some controversy and some things adding to the difficulty of what you and I have been commanded to do. And we want to do this because it's good and acceptable in the sight of God. When we think through it, God invested a lot in me and you. He sent his own son, Jesus, the Messiah. And he had already predicted that he would come to a thankless culture who would crucify him and bury him in a grave, and that he would rise after 3 days and nights. And it happened with just complete accuracy and precision, everything that God had written. But just think about that. Imagine what Jesus went through for you and my sake and everybody else who's listening. If you're hearing this today, he did these things for you. Also, we want to make sure you understand God loves you, and that's why he gave Jesus, his only begotten son, so that whoever you are, no matter what circumstance you're in, no matter where you are on the planet, no matter what ethnic group you come from, and that would include everyone, the gospel is a universal message to all men, women, boys and girls to repent. That means change your mind about doing it your way or anybody else's way and do it God's way. Trust in his son, Jesus the Christ, who he raised from the dead. He is the only one that has that credential that I have the power and authority over death and the grave and over hell and even judgment. And so if you trust in Christ, you shall be saved, the Bible says. And we preach that and command that to every man, woman, boy and girl. So being thankful is going to be a proper response. And that's why we say, however, being thankful is greatly contrary to normal human response, because we all have a fallen nature. Our nature is fallen. A lot of people want to argue about that. Some people think, yeah, man is basically good and he's just a little sick and gets out of whack here and there. But the scripture says we are completely depraved. That means we do not have the righteousness that God requires for anyone to be saved. And that's everybody, not just certain people. It's everybody. We tend to want to put these people in that group and those people in the group of those who are warped and depraved. But I'm all right. That's the way we tend to think. And so that's a problem, because all of us, basically, according to God's standard, are shot through and through and cannot be saved. We're totally depraved in the sight of God. And the reason is God is absolutely holy. And we don't even really understand that. We can't even really wrap our minds around the fact that there is a being, only one, who is totally holy. And we don't really understand that. So it's and the fact is, once Adam sinned, all of us have been born in sin and shaped in iniquity. We were raised by defective people who were our parents. They did the very best they could, but we still have our issues. We have our own inborn sin that comes, as David said in Psalms number 51, that in sin did my mother conceive me. I was born in sin, he said, and shaped in iniquity. That means they did the best they could under their circumstances, but their fallenness was transmitted to me, and it's a part of my DNA, and I have a tendency to sin and be against God and to not give thanks in everything. All you do is look at a baby, a newborn baby, in about 5-10 minutes, you'll find out he's not thankful for everything. He comes undone like the world is about to close in on him, and all this, the matter is, I want you to pick me up, or I want you to change my diaper, or I want a bottle, or whatever, something very trivial. So we come here programmed to be unthankful and ungrateful. We want you to stop what you're doing right now, Mom, 2:30, 3:30 in the morning. Get up right now and take care of me, because that's how we're wired. And so it goes on as we get older, and we find out that there are things that we're not thankful about. So learning to be thankful is going to be contrary to the normal, natural human response, because we have a fallen nature. Therefore, we have to give constant attention to ourselves in order to cultivate thankfulness as we have been commanded to. And the same reasoning must also be applied to praise God as well, because it does not come naturally to the fallen nature. So that's what I want to talk with you about today. And now, why are we doing this? Well, this is, as I said, the closeout of one of the oddest years I have ever seen. And I might have some of y'all beaten, some of y'all are older than me. But the fact is, I talk to a lot of people, and all of them tell me that this 2020 has been really a test. And there's more things going on in it right now, and it seems to be getting worse, spiraling out of control, so many things. So how do you and I maintain an attitude of thankfulness? Let's get some ideas here from the writer of the Psalms. In this case, this is Psalms number 100. And it's just a few verses, and the psalmist says this. This is a psalm of praise. We'll talk about that aspect first. He says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Now, right there we can see, and I'm going to stop right there just a minute and put a pin. The psalmist is talking about all the people of the world, and this is not really a common Old Testament attitude that God is preaching to the whole world. And it's something that's more clearly revealed in the New Testament when Jesus was manifested and sent out his disciples after he had come to his own, Israel, and his own received him not. Then he sent the gospel out after he was rejected and crucified. And it was to go from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria unto the uttermost part of the earth, in accordance with the book of Acts, chapter number 1. He told the disciples, the apostles, to go out and preach the gospel everywhere. Start in Jerusalem, which is the heart of Israel, and Judea, that's the southern kingdom, which was divided. They were divided into two back at that time, Israel, the northern kingdom, and Judah, the southern kingdom. But he says, start with the people of God who he sanctified already, which were the Jews of the northern and southern kingdom. And both kingdoms had been captivated and taken into captivity, let's say, by Gentile powers, and at different times in their history. We're not going to talk about that much today. But the long story short, the southern kingdom, which was the most recent one to be taken into captivity in 586 B.C. by Nebuchadnezzar, was taken into Babylon. They remained under Gentile domination even up until the time of Jesus' birth, which took place under the Roman Empire. And therefore, they were in dominion with, in other words, they were under the control of other Gentiles throughout all that time, all the way from the Assyrian captivity in 722 B.C., clear on up to the birth of Christ, by one set of Gentiles or another that dominated the land of Israel and the people of Israel. And they were still under that Roman dominion when Jesus was born. So technically, they had already lost sovereignty, which is what happens to a nation that abandons God. When you abandon God, your sovereignty does not last. And that's been the case of history throughout all of history. You can take a look back, you'll find kingdoms rise and fall pretty quickly over a period of roughly 200 years or so. And that's about where America is now. I just want to drop that in right at this moment. So you can see that we're doing the very same thing. And that's why Paul told us in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 10, and also Romans 15, that the things that happened to Israel were written for our instruction. So you and I should learn that when you see a nation abandon God, like we've done here in America, a lot of people talk about God, but they really aren't obeying his word. They took the word out the center of the culture, and now they are putting in politics and all kinds of other humanism, which is destroying the whole country, and therefore bringing us down to a system of judgment where we are thankless people. And we began now to worship political power, money, wealth, and all of that kind of thing. And we put God way on the back burner as a culture in general. Now, there are people talking about God all through the whole thing, but are they actually getting into the rightly divided word of truth? No, they are not, simply put. That's why we have the legalization of drugs. We have the legalization of all kinds of scandalous behavior that God has clearly delineated in his word, that these things will draw the wrath of God upon your culture. And even though we're saying we're political and we're righteous and this group is better than that group, same arguments Israel had before they crucified Jesus. And so that's about where we are as a country. Let me get off my soapbox and get back to the being thankful. So this is even more of a reason why you and I have to think about how is my thankfulness and my praise to God? Is it legitimate? You know, John says if you hate your brother, then how can you say you love God? And you shut up your bowels of compassion against your brother, how does the love of God abide in you? That's what he asked. That's a good question. So we got a lot of stuff that we have to really be cautious about that will bring us under the judgment of God as well, you know, because this is also what happened to Israel. And we are doing things that we need to put ourselves in check about and learn to be thankful to God. You know what? His word is a lamp to our feet, as the psalmist said, and a light unto our path. And he's preaching to the whole world, not just America. So I want to put that out there, because America really has become super arrogant. And that's why our political system is messed up like it is now, because people are arrogant and they want to side with people not based on truth or facts, but on power, persuasion, finances, money, authority, and power, all kinds of things except the truth. And so Jesus said you must continue in his word, and that if you do so, that his word will, the truth will make you free, is what he said. So we think we can maintain freedom without his word, and it's impossible. So that's why we see anarchy and chaos going on all around in our country. Now, as the same mistake that Israel made, it caused them to be in a position to crucify the Son of God when he came right on schedule, and he had already told them. They had hundreds of years to see that he had already come. So let's look here. Psalms 101, a psalm of praise. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. That's everybody. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. And know ye that the Lord, he is God. And it is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good and his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. So the truth of God will continue no matter what the generations do. And you and I have to cultivate that attitude of thankfulness and praise to God, regardless of what we see going on right around us, regardless of what's going on in our own personal families or situations that we're dealing with. No matter what we're going through, we must learn to cultivate that attitude of thankfulness. Now, I'll tell you what, it's easier to do if you're in the truth of God's word, if you walk by faith and not by sight. You got to look at some things that are being done and make the proper assessment based on God's word, not on what we think or feel or what seems right to us, as people like to say today. God has clearly given us a word which is perfect. The Lord is perfect, the scripture says. And so we need to understand that. And when we deviate from it, this is what we get, the kind of mess we're dealing with here now. So I want to go ahead and take a look here as we take a look at that, what that psalmist has said here. The psalmist teaches us that all people everywhere should give praise to God for the fact that his creation is wondrous. Look at the things God has made. We even misunderstand his creation and try to superimpose so-called science on it and say a lot of stuff that God says will never happen, and we're building things and banking on things based on stuff that we think will happen, when God has clearly given us the picture of exactly how things will be. So his creation is a wondrous thing. It's abundant, it's complete, and it's even amazing that it contains everything that we have needed for our lifetimes and for all people. And what an amazing thing it is, the creation of God. And God has made it to endure until he comes in, and he will destroy it himself because of sin. And those who have trusted in the name of Jesus Christ will be delivered, as his promise. So if people think we're messing up the world, wait till you see what God does to it. You know, he said it'll be rolled up like a scroll, and the earth and its works will be burned up, and the elements will melt with fervent heat, Peter tells us. See, so we really need to be aware that what God says is the real deal, and what we're dealing with in our culture, better watch out for it. But we want to thank God, praise God, and let him know that you and I are for real. And I admonish us all to do that, because it is the right thing. So the psalmist has given us that information, how to rejoice in the Lord always, as Paul wrote, and we talked about this earlier in this series, And again, I will say rejoice as he wrote from the prison. Remember that in Philippians chapter 4. Okay, well, let's move along. We still have some things I want you to get to today. Colossians chapter 1, we'll take a look here. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, Timotheus, the old KJV says, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Paul says in verse 3, Colossians 1 and 3, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of the faith, your faith in Christ Jesus, and the love which ye have to all the saints, and for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of truth, the gospel, the truth of the gospel. You and I have heard the word of truth, and he's giving thanks to God. You know what? I like to make it a habit to thank God for all of you and all of the families and the people who are connected to our ministry. And even in my own family and in your families, I hear a lot of things and take in a lot of information. So there are always a lot of things to offer prayer for, to pray unto God. And so you and I have to begin to pray on these things and separate your mind from stuff that would interfere with that relationship with God so that you can be prayerful in all things. That's why Paul later on to these Colossians says, set your mind on things above and not on things on the earth. He says, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. See, so we're really dead to the things of this world if we are saved. And we have been crucified, as he told the Galatians, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So he really took that thing in mind, and he gives God praise and thanks for all the churches and anyone who has been called out. In other words, you have heard the good news that God loves you just like you are. You have believed the good news that God raised his Son from the dead and seated him at his right hand so that you and I can have perfect fellowship with God. And so therefore, you and I must learn to be thankful for everything. And it's not easy because there's going to be some blows and things that come against us, and it will be increasingly worse as time goes on, the scripture says, because that's what has been written in the word. So we have to really get ourselves prepared for this season. I think 2020 is just the tip of the iceberg, and you and I need to stay prayed up. So I pray for you, I pray for your family, and I ask you to pray for me and my family, amen, that we would all be moving on, cultivating that attitude of thankfulness as we go along. Don't become bitter. It's easy to become bitter, and I like to say that there's only one difference. You can either be bitter or you can be better if you swap that I out and put in the E, make yourself better, not bitter. See, it's easy to get bitter and be thankless and go around with a bad attitude, but it's much more difficult to know that God has everything in control and feel like this psalmist who says, make a joyful noise, all ye lands, everybody give God praise. Amen. Trust him and walk by faith and not by sight. No matter what you see, what's going on, and this year has promised to be one of the hottest of all. So moving on, in Colossians chapter 1, Paul says, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which ye have unto all the saints, he says here, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, wherefore ye heard before in the word of truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth in you. And since the day that ye heard of it and knew of the grace of God in truth. See, so since the very day that we heard that good news, our lives have changed, and God's people pray for one another. This is something I always like to ask people to do. Pray for me. Pray for everyone. Pray for your enemies, we even say. And give God thanks because he's given you and I another day's journey. Amen. And so we want to cultivate that attitude of thankfulness because it won't be an easy thing or a natural thing. So we have to keep that in mind. Now, he says here, as ye also learn from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. And for this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye may walk worthy of the Lord and unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. So Paul directs us in his letter to the church at Colossae to be thankful to the Father who has provided his Son Jesus to correct completely the divisions caused by Adam's sin from anyone who believes in him to the satisfaction of God Almighty. And Jesus did this all by himself. And he did it for me and you. So if you're here today, you've never trusted Christ, do it. It'll be the best thing you ever did. Because without him, we can't do anything. And we must learn to lean and depend on Christ alone. He is the only one that can make you right. And so I'm going to get back to this on Wednesday this week coming up. So I'm going to be brief with you this morning. So I want to say that cultivating this attitude is a good thing. And we have some more to say about it. And I hope you'll join us on the Wednesday Bible class. And that will be at 6 o'clock. So as we conclude this most unusual year of our lives, let us pray about becoming even more focused on cultivating the attitude of thankfulness, which can be measured by our responses to all the things of this life, whether good or bad, as we give glory to God for his immeasurable investment in us by his only begotten Son. He gave Jesus for you in order to make you right in his sight. So I hope you will think about this. Pray about it. This is a pretty deep meditation. Download our notes at teachingbible.org or catch this again on the podcast at anchor.fm. We'll put that on the website as well, teachingbible.org. You can get all the notes and previous lessons if you missed any and catch it again on our podcast, as we mentioned. And we pray that you will continue to walk by faith and not by sight. We love you. We bless you. We give you praise. Give God praise for you. And we hope that this lesson will bless you and stretch you out a little bit in the area of cultivating a heart and a mind of thankfulness and praise to God. Amen. Be back here same time, actually 6 o'clock on Wednesday, and we will complete the rest of this lesson. There's always more than we can get done in just a few minutes, but I wanted to put these words on your mind right now so that you can begin to pray on it, and we have some more things that God will reveal to us as we go on. Let's pray. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, bless everyone under the sound of my voice. Father, if there's anybody who's just accepting your Son today as their personal Savior, give them faith, fill them with your Holy Spirit, and let them know that you have loved them with everlasting love, and that they are now adopted into your family. We give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Go ahead and give God your best praise. Amen.